This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling. I'm joined today on Sell or Die, the world's greatest podcast for sales and personal development. I'm here with
Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today we have a very special guest. We're going live from Philly. We're welcoming Bryn Tillman, the LinkedIn Whisperer.
Ooh. I'm so excited. Hello, Jeffrey.
We're not actually going to talk. We're just going to whisper. So you'll have to listen with both ears.
Bryn, thank you for coming up here today.
I am so excited. I am a diehard. So the fact that I can actually be on the podcast instead of just listening to it 24/7 is awesome.
So, Bryn, how did you develop your expertise in LinkedIn? What did you do that made you queen of this thing?
Well, it sort of accidentally happened. So as a sales producer and as a trainer, I saw this, and I called it LinkedIn for like 6 months. And I saw this thing, and I saw very quickly it solved a problem, which is...
Mic up to your mouth.
Which is the referral problem for me at the time, right? So when I started in sales, I remember sitting across from a client staring at his overflowing Rolodex. Does everyone remember what a Rolodex is? So thinking if I get my hands on that for 20 minutes, I could figure out who he knew, ask for referrals, and never have to make another cold call again. And LinkedIn did that. You know, you had the ability to search and filter your connections. And when you had clients that you could proactively ask for referrals that were happy to make them, or networking partners. I mean, it really solved a huge problem.
So some of our diehards are LinkedIn experts, or so they think, and others don't even know where to start. Mm. What do you recommend a person trying to get referrals on LinkedIn? Where do they begin?
Well, so there's something that they have to do first, which is they have to develop a resource-driven profile. We've got to move from a resume to a resource. I mean, Jeffrey talks about this all the time, about being a resource and being insightful. It's got to start with your profile, right? And so that profile has to bring value to your audience. Before you can use LinkedIn, you've got to make sure that you're positioned right.
So read your profile and circle anything in red that someone else would be valued by and tweet or send to somebody else. And if you can't circle anything, redo it.
A lot of people's profiles end up looking like a resume.
Right.
So how do they convert that from resume to value?
Well, that's a great question. The first thing you have to do is figure out what your client or your prospect cares about. Because often what we do is we talk about what we want to talk about versus what they want to hear. And so we really have to get into their shoes and figure out what is it that's going to move them. The job of LinkedIn is not to make sales. It's to build credibility and get people to want to take your call. That's the job. So is your profile doing that? And it's the same insights anywhere in your sales process. They belong inside of LinkedIn so that when they read your profile, they say, I want to talk to this woman. I want to talk to this guy.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I have a great profile. What's next?
Okay. Now, I mean, there's many things to do, and we're skipping through some of the bigger steps, but if we're going to talk about referrals, the next thing we have to do is earn those referrals. We can't just go out and ask anyone in our network to make a referral for us if they haven't experienced how wonderful we are. So let's start with our clients, and what I do is I have folks make a list of people that have already made referrals to them. Like, start there. There are people that are proud to make a referral, And now we search their connections based on search strings. Like, so the titles figure you have to map out your buyers. So based on, let's say you sell into CEOs, we find out what CEOs does that client know? And then have a conversation. Don't send an email, a quick email saying, hey, can you introduce me? You want to have a conversation with that client and say, you know, I notice you're connected to 7 people on LinkedIn that I'm trying to get in front of. Can I run these names by you? And have a real conversation with them. And when they say, oh, this would be a great person for you, at that point is when you can say, would you be open to making an introduction?
Okay, have you ever gotten a request from somebody you don't even know who the hell they are? What do you do with those?
Delete.
So we have no time as people to screw around with somebody who's just begging for something. So, I mean, if I got something that was of value to me, I would take a look at it. If I got to beg for a referral and I didn't know the other person, there's no reason for me to look at it. Mm-hmm. So let's just do this. We're compacting the show. We're going to thank Bryn for being here. We're going to ask her to take her damn chair with her, because it's only going to be me and Jen. But we will have an extended version of Bryn on Sell or Die in the next couple of weeks, and you'll be able to get all kinds of info on LinkedIn. Thank you, Bryn.
Thank you, Bryn. All right, so normally our guest episodes are 30 to 45 minutes long because we like to get as much information as we can from the guests. And I know from experience, Bryn has tons more to say.
What do you think the hardest thing we do as hosts are? Not interrupt. That's exactly
correct.
Exactly. And I'm known for interrupting because I have no patience whatsoever, kind of like you guys. Correct?
You're getting better at it.
Women can listen. Men, no prayer.
So now we're going to answer your questions, and Doug is going to be reading the questions. George would like to know, how do I market myself as number one?
You don't market yourself as number one. You position yourself as number one. You post information that other people perceive as valuable based on your tags. If someone's looking for dominance, if someone's looking for sales excellence, if someone's looking for air conditioners, if someone's looking for plumbing, that's how you brand yourself on your LinkedIn posts or on your tweets or wherever you're posting any information, and someone will look up plumbing Philadelphia, and son of a gun, your stuff will pop up.
We had the number one plumber in Charlotte come on our show a couple of months ago. It was an amazing episode. And he has all 5-star reviews on Google. So he does not have to say he's number one. He is the only plumber in Charlotte with all 5-star reviews. So if you want to position yourself or market yourself as number one, go get your clients to tell everyone else that you are number one. I'd start there.
By the way, he's from New Jersey. He moved down from Jersey. Is that cool or what?
All right, next up, how do you decide if an underperforming sales rep can be coached up or needs to be moved out? P.S. Cowboys suck.
See, everyone's a smartass in this audience. Have you noticed that? Go ahead, you take it.
Coached up or coached out, go on a sales call with them. Literally see them in the moment and figure out, is this a person that should be on my team? Are they coachable? Ask them questions, figure out what they're thinking. Maybe even talk to their clients, their best clients, and see what their relationship is really like. Is it a good relationship, or are they just buying because they're sold on the company? Are they sold on the person, or are they sold on the company? And if you don't go out with them, you won't be able to figure it out.
Fire them. If you have to ask yourself the question, then the answer is probably more obvious than you're willing to admit. And you're just guilty about firing them right away. Cut bait.
All right, I faithfully listen to hard rock before sales calls. AC/DC is my favorite. What is your favorite song to listen to before a sales call?
Jeffrey, you're going to have like 300
songs. Yeah, I have about 400 sales favorites ones, but Jenny, you can start with your...
I don't have a favorite song. I go to whatever I'm feeling in the moment, and it could be something from today's pop hits, and it could be something that's like a French song. Really, it's whatever I'm feeling that will pump me up in the moment.
Yeah, is there something in particular you do to kind of get into the zone at any time?
Yeah, I have a morning routine that I live by, and it begins with meditating for 10 minutes. I use the Headspace app. I work out.
I think this might be one of Jeffrey's favorites.
That whole interrupting thing, he's good at it.
I'm rocking. And the reason I'm rocking, I want to walk in bouncing. And I have my own playlist with hundreds of songs on them, and I'll pick the ones that I'm kind of into at the moment. But Jen and I are both music people. And I don't always like her music, and she doesn't always like my music.
So true story.
Part of the tough shit. Well, that's what happens when you're 5 years older than your girlfriend.
Just five.
Go for it, honey.
Okay, so my morning routine, just real fast: meditation, affirmations, visualizations. I follow a lot of the Miracle Morning routine, and I have a full glass of water because it's really important to rehydrate yourself right away when you wake up. And for me, it's been transformative, and I add music to that at the very end.
Sometimes I will play a song that takes you exactly back to where you were, because if you play a song, it's not just a memory maker, it's a time machine. And you can go back to your first date, you can go back to your first kiss, you can go back to your first wife. And
all right, so Doug, what's the next question?
All right, we all love to talk about sales that we close, but can each of you tell us about a sale that you did not close?
Sure. I was going after a huge, almost million-dollar contract in New Jersey, and right at the time, I thought I had a great relationship. I was selling educational software. I thought I had a great relationship with the client. We were texting, whatever, and then I think our competitor planted this, but a scathing article came out about my company in their local newspaper. Not my company, but the company I was working for, right a couple weeks before we were supposed to close the deal, and it was just silent then on out. They would not answer my call, they would not answer my text, and I quickly learned our relationship was not good enough.
When I moved to Charlotte and I was financially upside down, someone called me and said... The guy that runs Mercy Hospital wants to hire you. I've already set it up. Just go in. Okay. So I went in, told the guy how great I was, and left. And my friend called me back and says, they're not buying. You didn't ask him any questions. Oh. That's a pretty good lesson.
Yeah.
So now I don't say anything. I just ask. And then I ask for the check.
He prefers ACH, if he didn't mention that.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about sending me money, I prefer we'll get you our ACH info.
All right.
Doug.
If you have a business Twitter account, should humor and business be 50-50 or 60-40 or something else?
It should be a natural thing. If you have something funny, then tweet it. If you don't, then don't fake it. But should it be 1 out of 10 at least?
And it depends on what you want to be known for. Like, there is a guy in sales who posts only funny memes and sales, like, just jokes. So it depends on who you are and what you want to be known for.
And how much of that is what response you get to it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do your customers want?
And right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay. This is kind of in that same vein. This person wants to know, what are topics to avoid on social media or sales conversations other than politics or theology? Are there some other landmines to avoid?
I don't know. I think you probably might stay away from sex. You know what I mean? No, I mean on Twitter, not at home.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I think the world has become so political right now that everyone's talking about politics and who they're unfollowing or whatever on social media, and my theory is just stay away from it.
Yeah. You don't want any... Don't let anyone know you're a Republican.
No comment.
Your favorite color is plaid, isn't it, honey?
Yes.
Yeah, good.
All right, last question. Can you talk about the importance of being prepared and how that first step sets you up for success?
Well, Jeffrey just told about how he lost a sale because he wasn't prepared and didn't ask questions.
I'll speak for myself, please.
Okay.
But thank you.
So I think that sets the foundation. But really, if you're not prepared, what are you doing? Like, why are you just going to show up to a meeting and not prepare and prepare in terms of them and what they're hoping for? Put yourself in their shoes and figure out what do they want to get out of this meeting. And Jeffrey talked about it at the beginning of the seminar, but it's all about their outcome. And so how can you help them achieve more, profit more, win more, do better, whatever it may be, and then prepare. Like, I can't stress the, if you're not prepared, don't show up. Just don't have a meeting.
What are you going to do to that other person that has some degree of memorability about it? What will they talk about when you leave? Like, that was a great guy or that was a shit meeting? Will they feel that their time had been valued or have you wasted their time? Like, hey, I'd really like to come over and show you our deck of slides. It's only going to be about 38 minutes and I promise it'll bore the shit out of you. Like, seriously, what are you doing that for? So as I explained a little bit earlier, but I can elaborate, email them your presentation and show up with information about them. I'm going to send you the boring part of my stuff. You can take a look at my slides if you want or go to Google. That'll show you everything. But I'm going to value your hour by talking about you and what you specifically need, and I'm bringing a couple of ideas. But that would mean you have to have an idea, not a sales pitch. Walk in with a sales pitch, you're going to bid for price. Walk in with ideas, someone's going to say, come out, wait a second, I need somebody else in the meeting. Mm-hmm. When they bring somebody else in the meeting, they bought. And you know it.
We have a bonus question.
Oh my God.
From the front row of the audience, the entire front row. By the way, this audience has been great. Give it up for yourselves, Philly, thank you.
Philly!
Oh my goodness, wow. Fantastic questions here in Philly. We expected nothing less. All right, bonus question time. They would like to know how each of you got your start in sales and how you went from sales to speaking.
Did you all like confer? How did you come up with this question together?
Jen, just
I
want to
know that. Okay, so I grew up in a family business.
You grew up?
Grew up.
Oh, grew up.
Grew up. Listen closely.
Got it.
Okay. And my parents owned a book manufacturing company, and I would hear them come home and talk about their sales and their business every single day at the dinner table, and decided that just like my mom and just like my dad, I was going to be in sales too. And
how many of you grew up in a family business? Raise your hand. Wow, only 3 or 4 people.
Wow.
5 or 6 people, 7 or 8 people. Oh, 9 or 10 people. Okay, cool. That's the backbone of our country.
Yeah. So from the time I was really young, I was always coming up with business ideas. And my first one was selling handmade bracelets outside the grocery store because I thought there'd be a lot of, I was like 6 years old, and I thought there'd be a lot of foot traffic. And what I realized was people wanted them customized. And so that was my first taste of, I have to give someone what they want, not really what I want, because what I liked might not be what they liked. And I know it sounds silly, it's a bracelet and I'm 6, but it was a huge lesson for me to learn at that age. And then I went on to sell Cutco educational software, worked all through college, and decided to quit my job where I was managing 30 sales reps across the nation and start teaching other people how to sell because I could impact more people on a global level.
Then she came over to our place and begged.
And then I met Jeffrey.
I don't really know where to start. I grew up in a family business, and I took my first job besides selling candy bars and fireworks when I was in the seventh grade. I took a job selling in the summertime, selling Encyclopedia Britannicas door to door, where they train you and then they beat you. And I couldn't do it. I literally have failed at it. And then I took a job selling baby pictures to mothers. You know, you lay out the proofs and that was, I'll tell you the story when we re-begin of the lifelong journey of that message and how that helped me in my career.
Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.